Hey, Jeremy.
Yes, dear.
It happened this week.
What happened?
All this time, I knew it was going to happen.
Something bad happened?
The comment on Instagram.
We had a lot of comments on Instagram this week. We were busy on Instagram. We were keeping the people entertained.
You know, the comment. The comment.
Which one didn't you like?
Love your blog. Great podcast. Your accents are really cute. LOL.
Oh, I do remember that. Did she say cute or cool?
Oh, cool, cute, whatever. Yeah, she
said our accents are cool, but I kind of ignored that because I don't have an accent.
Yeah, I know. You think that because you didn't go to college out in the Midwest for 4 years.
You did. Yeah, that really bothered you, right? They give you a hard time about that out
every
there.
Every day
didn't
of
they try
my
to
life.
Send you back to New Jersey or something?
No. They reminded me every day.
But people
I had
from
an
the
accent.
Midwest are so nice.
Yeah, well, not when it comes to accents.
Well, I speak the King's English. I don't have an accent.
I knew the day was coming. I figured all those listeners out there, different states. Yeah, what are they thinking? Those Jersey people talking about RVs.
You're my Jersey girl. Yeah, an RV program live from New Jersey. You come here with your RV, we're going to run you over.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
No, it makes a lot of sense. We want to get out of New Jersey in our RV all the time. But you're my Jersey girl.
I am, born and raised.
Oh, and by the way, I met Bruce Springsteen a couple weeks ago, didn't I?
Well, eventually, if you live in our area long enough, you better meet Bruce Springsteen.
Downplay it. Why don't you? You've never met Bruce Springsteen.
I haven't.
I got me a selfie with
you
Bruce
did,
Springsteen
and
Baby Wes at Barnes & Noble.
It's a selfie. It's on Instagram.
It's on the Instagram. Maybe I'll put it back up. Do a little encore.
Yeah, go check out the Bruce Springsteen selfie.
Leave
a comment about our accents.
I didn't pay much attention to that comment. The comment on Instagram that got my attention was when somebody called you the hashtag RV travel temptress.
Luck.
That got my attention.
That's my new name, and I think you should only refer to me as that for the rest of our lives.
I love that. I love calling you the RV travel temptress.
Yeah.
Frankly, I'm worried you're going to break up with me, start your own blog.
Right. What do I need RV Family Travel Atlas for when I have
Well, you
RV
could be the RV travel temptress. I'm picturing you like low-cut shirts, you know, like really
I'll
like
– I have so many more followers than we could
and like
ever
a dad,
dream
you
of.
Put up one blog post and Go RVing is going to call you like the next day. Like, we want the RV travel temptress.
You better watch yourself, buddy.
You're working
with an RV travel
That's
temptress.
The only comment that got my attention. Oh, actually, there was another one. Let's clean this whole thing up here.
Okay.
Let's get a little more professional.
Let's go to the other side.
Now, this was a Facebook comment. Someone said that we are like the NPR of camp podcasts, which that's the second NPR comment that
right.
we've received.
Okay.
And I love it, and you love it.
Yeah. So here's the thing, folks. If you want to like throw NPR into any comment that you ever want to make about us,
right.
that's okay. Like, we'll be like,
I will mail you candy.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I mean, we'll get like, you know, the long, long trailer movies.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just start throwing them out. We'll be like, right, NPR.
I mean, we kind of want to
like
be
NPR
like the
here.
This American Life of RV podcasts, right?
Ha ha.
We need to do more deep think pieces.
We do. We should definitely not do these pieces anymore.
Well, anyway, look, I guess though, really, at the end of the day, we're back to travel pieces, aren't we, tonight?
Yeah, we are.
Where are we taking our listeners?
We're going to New Hampshire.
White Mountains, New Hampshire. Really great, great RV destination.
We're doing it. RV travel temptress.
RV travel temptress style.
NPR style.
With Jersey
coming
accents.
Coming to you live with the Jersey
people
accents.
People from New England have accents.
From RV Family Travel Atlas. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our family's adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, it's a special adventure guide to the White Mountains of New Hampshire. We traveled to the Granite State last summer and spent an amazing 2 weeks exploring the rugged White Mountains.
We will be talking about all of the hiking, kayaking, swimming, and amusement parking that this great region has to offer.
Plus, reviews of the two campgrounds that we stayed at during our visit, white-knuckle driving on the Mount Washington Auto Road, and the beautiful scenery of the Kankamangas Highway.
All of this and so much more on Episode 18 of RV Family Travel Atlas, our White Mountains, New Hampshire Adventure Guide. Like Acadia National Park in Maine and Cape Cod in Massachusetts, the White Mountains of New Hampshire is one of New England's premier RV destinations. It is truly a great spot for a family vacation. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. We had an amazing time.
We had an amazing 10 days there. It's totally bucket list to get back. So here's how we're going to break down tonight's show. We're going to do this in four segments. And it's the White Mountains are kind of overwhelming. There's so much to go through. But this is how we're going to organize it. We're going to do a segment on Franconia Notch and then on the Lincoln Woodstock KOA, where we camped when we explored Franconia Notch. Then we'll do another segment on Crawford Notch and the Twin Mountain KOA, where we stayed while we explored Crawford Notch. And then for the next two segments, we will...
Right. Then we'll go into a couple of the theme parks that we went to. We went to Clark's Trading Post and Santa's Village, and theme parks happen to be
a big thing in the White Mountains, which took me by surprise
right.
a little bit.
But we'll get into that, and we'll talk about that a little more later. And then we'll also talk about two amazing drives. Very different, but wonderful drives that we took. One on the Mount Washington Auto Road.
I don't know if I'd call that wonderful. Yeah, it was wonderful. White-knuckle driving at its best.
Very fun. And then also the Kankamangas Highway.
Yeah, and there's so much more to the White Mountains than those four areas.
Yeah.
But those are four major areas that we covered, and we have lots of great recommendations for everyone. Mm-hmm. So why don't we dive right in and start with Franconia Notch State Park.
Mm-hmm. Okay? That's where we started out our trip.
That's day one.
Yep.
We headed into Franconia Notch, and we bought a Discovery Pass. Now, the Discovery Pass was $29 for each adult. And the three kids were for free. But
okay.
You wanted to talk about the pricing for things in New Hampshire for state parks.
Well, I do. Because if you are a traveler, if you're an RVer, if you are a hiker and a state park visitor, if somebody were to say to you, hey, this state park costs $29, you might be like, what? What are you talking about? I've never in my entire life paid that kind of money even to get into a national park. Right?
Exactly,
we got a
yeah.
week's pass at
in Acadia. It was roughly
for less
that,
than that maybe?
I think
25?
It was around that price.
Know. Okay. So this is something that is very unique about New Hampshire. And once we sort of wrapped our minds around it, it made complete sense. But we had to understand it in order to budget for a trip. And I think it's important to mention.
So let's explain how this works briefly. So like the Discovery Pass was for the Flume Gorge Loop Trail, and it was for the aerial tramway up to Cannon Mountain. So that's what we were paying for.
Yeah.
Now what you have to
park,
understand is that definitely for the Flume Gorge and also Cannon Mountain, everything is paid for through those ticket prices.
Yeah.
The state is not supplementing any of those things.
So in our state, in our great state of New Jersey, as we've already mentioned on this podcast, and in many other states, all the other states that we visited, there is a huge subsidized
portion. The state parks run at a loss.
So
and
oftentimes,
the budget makes up for it.
Yeah. Oftentimes, in fact, like we did this in New York State when we visited there, we bought an Empire Pass. And that was
for
like
every state park.
$40, and it covered for the entire year all of your entrances,
right? Which is not the real represent the real cost.
Yeah, so that is obviously subsidized, and we've come to expect that because we really do travel to a lot of state parks and a lot of national parks. New Hampshire, okay,
live free or die.
Okay, they do
pay
not
pay to play.
They do not appreciate the concept. The concept of subsidized anything, right? So this state,
so they just don't do it.
Right. This state says, I'm not going to pay for you to go to a state park. They say, hey, if you want to use it, then you should
pay for
it.
Well, and I think that part of the idea, too, is that a lot of tourists are the people going into these state
parks. So they say, so let the tourists
and the
pay.
Average tax-paying citizen shouldn't pay, be paying for that.
It makes complete sense.
I actually felt,
within that mindset.
I felt kind of good knowing that the ticket price we were paying for the Flume Gorge was covering the cost of operating that part of the park.
And they have signs up that explain this.
Like,
if you go in, you'll see signs that say, every single penny to operate this park comes from entrance
fees. Yeah, and I have to say, like, when we bought that week's pass for Acadia National Park, I was bothered by how cheap it was. I was like, you know, and there's not enough rangers around. They're cutting back on rangers. And it's like, but then they're charging $30, $40 for a week's pass. I was like, I will pay what this really costs for me to be here. So I appreciated the New Hampshire model.
It was not for every state. And it was different.
The great state of Vermont does not operate
But here's
that way.
What happened is the night before we actually traveling, we were traveling with some friends. And they said, oh, well, that's expensive when I mentioned the Discovery Pass. And we did have to sort of work through this process where I said, you know, there's a lot of other tram rides
that were a lot more expensive.
And they were more expensive. And this was the most affordable. If you want to do one of the mountain tram rides that are popular in New Hampshire, this was the most affordable way to do it.
So look, we started our morning doing the Flume Gorge Loop Trail.
Mm-hmm.
And we are firm believers, and this is, again, kind of one of your rules, is if you're going to go to a popular touristy kind of destination – be the first ones there.
Absolutely.
Get there early. And we did.
It never fails us. If we get to – usually places that we go to that are touristy
open at like 8 or 9.
Right. That's generally the time, which is not that hard for us because our kids are early risers. We kind of have to like focus and be like, look, we really have to get in the car and go. But we can get there by that time. You cannot believe how empty places are.
Yeah, we were one of the first there.
Oh, absolutely. I always think about, again, in New York State, when we went to any of the gorges around the Finger Lakes, they'd be empty. This is what happens. You show up at 9. You'll do whatever
hike
it is.
You'll get half of your walk in.
Whatever. Yeah. And then on your way back,
you'll start to see. Yeah, it's funny. Looking through the pictures from the Flume Gorge Loop Trail, which is, I think, about a two-mile hike.
Yeah, it's about,
The photos of us on our way out, it's empty. The photos on the way back, we start to see the crowds coming in.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
Though. Gorgeous. I mean, if you're going to go to the White Mountains, you have to do this hike.
It was our first day.
Right.
In the White
perfect
Mountains.
Perfect introduction.
And it was the perfect day for me because I always kind of like to get myself like centered in an area. Like, what is this place all about when we first get there? I really appreciate that. Like that first day to do something quintessential about that area
and
get the feeling for it.
This is absolutely quintessential. And the highlight, perhaps the highlight of Franconia Notch State Park.
Yeah. And so when we went there, it was a quiet, we were probably there by 9:30 in the morning. The loop, it went up through like the Flume Gorge, right? So it's like a little...
And a flume, how would you describe a flume? Okay. It's water sluicing through rock.
Right. And it's like a waterfall kind of an event.
Right.
But it's just the water's running very fast.
And
it's like in
a very skinny sort of...
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
It's cutting through.
And
so it's not
pictures,
just falling over the rock.
No, then it's racing through the rock. And I put up several pictures on Instagram this week if you want to check out
the
Flume
Gorge.
Yeah,
we were kind of like getting ourselves back into the mindset of the White Mountains. But this was wonderful for kids. We love 2 mile hikes. It is the
perfect length
for walking children. We don't have our boys on our backs anymore. Obviously, they're 5 years old. So 2-3 miles is perfect.
And
it
felt like a very adventurous hike, but it didn't, I don't think it felt dangerous.
No, they liked to go up along. There was a couple of places where we really had to hold on, wet rocks, of course.
At one of the pictures on Instagram, I'm holding on to one of the kids, their backpacks.
We were holding their hands, but a wonderful loop hike that goes up and comes back in another area, a water feature, and like
water
really,
feature the whole way.
Yeah.
And you printed up a scavenger hunt as well.
Yeah, so
which
there's
a scavenger
hunt. Which
you got from the New Hampshire Department of Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, and if you Google New Hampshire State Parks, this is their website. And I use this a lot to plan our trip. And even while we were up there, I used this. I feel like their website is very user-friendly, which is not always the case with state parks. So print out a scavenger hunt, which are always useful. But you don't even need that for the Flume Gorge because it is so engaging.
And the boys used
the
it for maybe half the way.
Yeah.
Now, we normally do not get lunch at the welcome centers and the visitor centers, but we were hungry on the way out.
Well,
and we were heading off to Cannon Mountain. So we got lunch at the Gilman Visitor Center right there at the Flume Gorge. And how good was that lunch?
It was so bizarre. We were like,
it was a beautiful
okay,
lodge.
We'll eat here because we're going over to the tram and I have 3 young kids, and the last thing I want in the world is for them to get hungry. So
don't
I was
want
like,
cranky, hungry kids.
Right. And we had
on an aerial tramway.
No, we knew we were going up into the mountain on the tram, and we were like, we want to do a hike while we were up there. So we didn't want to be in a rush to get back. So we said, hey, let's bite the bullet and eat here.
We got some delicious sandwiches
well,
and burgers.
You ordered the burgers and the grilled cheeses and everything. And the guy went back and made them on the grill. Like, it was nothing was prepared
ahead of
time. It was
some of the best food we had in the White Mountains.
Yes, it was. The grilled cheese that you ordered was like pimento grilled cheese on Texas toast with like tomatoes and lettuce piled on
now
it.
Now that I think of it, this is our top food pick for the White Mountains.
No, it was good. And then
it was like a beautiful lodge
the
setting.
The burgers were delicious and huge and juicy. And the view, it was a beautiful lodge setting. And the view out the windows was of this area that we had just hiked. We were shocked. And this was the best state park food I have ever eaten
and
in my entire life.
I think we, because we got there early at 9, we also ended up eating lunch early.
Yeah,
and we didn't really wait.
There was nobody there. We ordered our food. We sat down and ate it.
So after that, we headed over to the Cannon Mountain aerial tramway up to Cannon Mountain, which was really cool and really fun.
Which if you are researching the White Mountains, you'll find a lot of these tramways or railroad cars. There's a lot of these railroads that like climb the mountains. Like when I was doing my research.
Which was not for us this time.
I was seeing all of those and I was like, oh, I love this idea. Then you think about getting trapped in a train with 3 kids. And really, it's not the boys. It's not Max and Theo so much at this point. It's Wes. Wes was about 14 months old.
Just too
at this
unpredictable.
Trip. Right. You just don't know what's going to happen. So this was the perfect solution for that. It was in the state park you went. It was at the old man
it's like
in the mountain.
The next parking lot up.
It was.
From
it
the
was
Flume
just
Gorge.
Right up.
And what's
highway.
Interesting about Franconia Notch and also about Crawford Notch when we get there next is there's an interstate that cuts through Franconia Notch, and all of these awesome things are right off the interstate, which doesn't sound nice, but it really is awesome actually because you just pull off, you park, and you're right there.
Yeah, and you could go exploring the nooks and crannies of Franconia State Park
for years. We need our listeners to understand that we, in 10 days, we just scratched the surface.
Which was great. But you realize this is the kind of area that people can return to over and over again.
And people do. My boss goes back over and over again to the White Mountains.
And he tries to do different things every time he goes, and he finds new things.
Now, I liked the hike up at the top of Cannon Mountain even more than I really enjoyed the tramway ride. Like, it's nice to get that tramway ride up, and then there's about a 2-mile hike
again,
at the top.
Another perfect little loop. It's not 2 miles. It's not even that long.
It was like a mile.
It's shorter than that. And you actually get off the tramway, and there is food up there. We didn't know that there was going to be.
And beer, cold
but
beer.
But there's a little like pub up there. So you're good to go. You don't have to eat down there before you go up. But you get up there, and then there's this wonderful loop path. And I would encourage you, if you go to our blog and you search for New Hampshire, you go to the New Hampshire tag, if you go to the post on the first day, like a perfect
day in Franconia Notch, we have posts on all of these things.
The picture actually I have of, I think it's Theo overlooking, he's at the top of Cannon Mountain and he's looking down at the highway that you mentioned cutting through. And it's just a really nice picture of, it gave us that perfect understanding of the White Mountains and sort of like it was laid out before us. And I enjoyed that so much up there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we went back down. And then there's the old man in the mountain, which isn't there anymore.
Yeah, I think in 1981 or around.
Right.
Maybe
like, so 91. A worker showed up and the old man in the mountain was gone. It had fallen in the middle of the night. So what they did was they created this memorial to it. And it's amazing. In the memorial, they have these blocks set up outside. And if you stand in a certain place,
it looks like you're seeing the original.
Yes. The blocks are sort of like set up in front of the mountain. So when you stand there, it makes it actually look like you're looking at the mountain and the blocks line up in such a way that it looks like you were looking at the man in the mountain.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So that's a really cool memorial.
Now, on a separate day, actually 2 separate days, we came back. We have 2 hikes we would really recommend and then a great place for swimming, okay? So we came back and we did the Artist's Bluff hike.
Yeah.
And we also did the Bald Mountain hike. Now, we did them on separate days because, again, we were hiking with kids. But these 2 hikes could also be combined if you have older kids or if you're just hiking booking, you know,
yeah, easily,
on your own?
Because we did. We were looking for short, really engaging hikes that gave us sweeping views. Our boys, like we said, they're walking. They're 5 years old. So, and these are steep. So it gives us a big payoff at the end, but
good views from
it's
both.
A lot of work for them, and they did a great job.
Bald Mountain was even some rock scrambling,
lots
like just
rock
enough
scrambling.
Scrambling for the kids.
Yeah, and the nice part was is that both of those are right across the street from Echo Lake.
Yeah, and Echo, yeah, exactly. They're right
so
across the
times,
parking lot. So you can park at the Echo Lake parking lot, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hit one or both of these hikes, come back down for a refreshing swim in crystal clear water.
Yeah.
And which is even a little bit warmer than you might think for New Hampshire.
Right. Yeah. Especially if you visited Maine, you're like, oh, this isn't
oh,
that
yeah.
bad.
55 degrees.
Not so bad after
But the
all.
Water is crystal clear. There's a little bit of a sand beach there, would you call it? There's a little bit of a beach there.
No, it's a little beach. They have a lifeguard. They have a paddle boat rental, there's canoe rental.
Clean
right
bathrooms,
there.
Place to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really nice combo. Okay. So that's just really like our beginner's guide to Franconia Notch. And you could come back again and again and do a lot of other things. And there's
right.
a lot
and
of
the
hikes.
Baby Flume.
Oh, the Baby Flume was awesome,
we
too.
We did that hike, and that was, again,
a
it was
great
just
one for
full
kids.
Of these little mini hikes that we could do, which
the,
I think is why we
flume,
loved it
like,
so much.
We just, I mean, we probably walked half a mile to really get to where the water was cutting through
thrilled.
The rock.
The
boys played down there for half an hour hopping around the water that's kind of like cutting through the rock again. And it really is. It's a perfect name, right? The Baby Flume, because mm-hmm. it's like a miniature version of the Flume Gorge.
Yeah.
Yeah, super cool. So we loved Franconia Notch. Now, our base camp for exploring the Franconia Notch area was the Lincoln Woodstock KOA, which is run by two great people, Darlene and Rob.
Yeah.
Good bad,
totally,
I believe.
Totally, totally wonderful.
Just adorable, perfect campground
people.
Owners.
Yeah.
Now, this was, we've stayed at about 20 KOAs. And I should say now, we've done a couple of sponsored trips with KOA. This was not
this
one of them.
This was not.
We
nope.
paid our hard-earned cash for this campground, and we loved, loved, loved this campground. It was like the platonic ideal of a KOA to me.
Yeah, and we had heard of this campground actually years ago.
JP, one of our listeners, JP, had they'd been going there for years, mm-hmm. Kathy and JP, and they had suggested this one to us.
But we were quite amazed when we ended up there at how much we loved it.
Yeah, I thought we would like it.
We thought, okay,
but
great.
It really
great
shot
campground.
To the top of our list.
It did. And it had all of the features, and this is not oh, water park and crazy kid
yeah,
hill. It's not like that.
And it's like the Cape Hatteras KOA is right on the beach, or Jellystone
right.
Luray has the slides. This doesn't, it's not that. It's not on that
it's
scale.
It's not that reason that it's wonderful. It's wonderful because it is the perfect complement to all of the other things that you're doing. Like we were bringing our kids on all of these hikes and like really trying to like experience the rugged White Mountains. And then we'd return
this was the
to
perfect
this
campground base camp.
That was had big, wide open fields,
we,
wonderful
well,
common
our
area.
Favorite thing at in campground design, okay, is to have the large field in the middle or the large common area or large common green.
Yeah.
And this had a huge one.
Ball playing, kite flying, all of that kind of stuff. You
oh,
could
the
do
playground.
There.
The boys were
the
crazy for this playground. It was a very
was
big playground.
Enormous. And it was creative enough that literally dozens of children
were
from
spending
around
hours
around the campground were there for hours. And the kids, and I've never seen this at any other campground before. Dozens of kids that did not know each other were arranging games
yeah,
together.
This playground has like almost like three or four different areas to it.
And the kids were playing different versions of like hide and seek.
I was invited
and
to play on the pirate ship
there was,
to be the bad
right.
pirate.
There was, yeah, there were bad pirates, good pirates. I watched. We had a wonderful
and
campsite.
We could
had a
watch,
deluxe site.
We could watch the playground
yes.
from our deluxe site.
Yeah. And we had that deluxe site and it was wonderful. It had the swing. It had the
the
gas
grill
that I love.
The fire,
a
huge
fire
pit. We don't always splurge for the deluxe sites, and in the future, we will not always splurge.
This one was worth it.
This one was worth it.
And we could see the playground. And I have to tell you, all week, I sat there, and I looked at that playground, and I was like, this is as good as it gets. Our boys could not wait to scramble over to that playground and play with 20 kids they didn't know.
Yeah, this was a kid-friendly campground.
It like warmed your heart as a parent to watch your kid in that free play and that just like comfortable, wild, like playground setting.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be home at about 4 o'clock back at the campground and they would play till dark.
We went to the pool.
Yeah, good quality pool.
In fact, the pool bath concept was introduced.
Yeah, it was summer. Pool baths were okay.
You were like, Sorry, Robin, darling.
Yeah, the pool was perfectly good.
There was the miniature golf course.
We played miniature golf a bunch of nights.
I took them a lot of nights. I would be like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, we'd put Wes to bed. I'd hang out with Wes, and you'd take them to miniature golf. Also, they had the jump pad, which is not a bounce pillow. Which is not a bounce pillow. You like the jump pad better than the bounce pillow. Why is that?
Because, again, explain
what the difference is.
So the bounce pillow, I'm sure most people have seen the pictures of that.
The iconic KOA jumping pillow or bounce pillow.
It kind of like raises from one side to the other, right? Almost like a blow up kind of thing.
Yeah, you can get pretty radical on those things.
The jump pad was different. It was like a flat. It was big, rectangle, flat. And the kids actually played games on that. And again,
they were playing catch. Some of the older kids were playing catch with a football.
Yeah, and they were running back and they'd have like relay races on it.
Yeah, it was like totally safer more mellow.
More kids could be on it. And it just seemed like the kids would like organize little races and events on it.
I mean, like
as opposed to just wild jumping.
Max and Theo are totally fine on a jumping pillow with kids their age. But if the teenagers like hop on, you know, like our boys could be flying up in the air.
Yeah.
You know, and on the jump pillow, it's just more mellow that way. Another thing I loved, they did the hay rides, not just on weekends, but every single night.
Tractor rides.
Every single night. It wasn't a lot of places do them Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, they were so cute. They would tractor ride around the campground and then they give them ice pops.
Yeah, Darlene one night was waiting at the end with a bucket full of ice pops that she gave out for the kids.
I don't know. They just ran their campground like
KOA could run training camp for future managers at this campground.
Oh, and Rob was like, at your campground with your wood pot. And he was talking to you. Like, it was, everything was super engaged.
He helped me with the hose hookup at one point, and I didn't even know he was the owner of the campground at that point. Also, super cute camp store. Green Mountain Coffee.
Well,
Darlene keeps that coffee cranking all day long.
We watched some of the World Cup.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That was such a nice little, what would you call that room?
Like it was like a game room.
Like a little game room, but it was real lodgy.
They had,
we watched the World Cup there.
Games there. So you we watched the World Cup, the kids.
Great for a rainy day.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, oh my gosh, do I want to go back to the Lincoln Woods
KOA? Every single thing that you could want in a base camp, like what you're saying. We're not like, oh, stay on the campground and never go out and explore. Every single thing that you would want on a base camp.
Yeah. And it's also worth saying the Pemigewasset River cuts along the back of the campground, and we ended up doing some awesome kayaking right back there on the river. And Darlene helped us figure out how to get on the river, how to get off the river. So we loved it there. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a second. We're going to talk all about Crawford Notch State Park
where
we went next and the Twin Mountain KOA. So after 6 days staying at the Lincoln Woodstock KOA and exploring Franconia Notch, Daddy decided he didn't want to go home, right? I mean,
you do that every single
I try to tack on 4 days to like every RV trip we ever take.
It's like classic by now. I know that whenever an RV trip is wrapping up, I'm going to get the pitch.
Yeah, the pitch.
The pitch.
So my pitch this time was like, hey, let's head up north a little bit further. Let's explore the Twin Mountain area and Crawford Notch. So that's what we did. We were able to get a site at the Twin Mountain KOA, which we'll talk about in a second. Mm-hmm. And our primary goal was to explore Crawford Notch, which we hadn't been into Crawford Notch at all. Is about
Franconia Notch had kept us very busy.
Had kept us very busy. And Franconia Notch, I would say, for most people, is the highlight of a White Mountains trip, or it's the number one destination.
Very accessible.
Crawford Notch is a little bit more off the beaten track, a little bit quieter. So we had an awesome time in Crawford Notch State Park. And in fact, I might say that I liked it better than Franconia Notch State Park.
Well, I don't know. You always have to rank everything, and I don't do that.
That's like, a guy thing.
I don't I really could not. They were different, and I appreciate both of the
experiences. But to me, if you're going to do the White Mountains right and you have the time, you need to spend time in Franconia Notch and Crawford Notch. You can't just skip Crawford Notch. Mm-hmm. So our first day in Crawford Notch, we pulled off the side of the road, and very quickly we were checking out a couple waterfalls, mm-hmm. the Silver Cascade and the Flume Cascade.
Right. And these, again, there was these little turnoffs, the little parking lots, and you could kind of walk back very easily to
It's not a hike to the waterfalls.
No, no, no. It's like a little rock
ramble. Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the thing again, and I can't emphasize this enough. We always get on the road early for these kinds of days when we're like, oh, let's look at this and that and the other thing. So we were there, and we were the only ones at these waterfalls.
Absolutely, yeah. And the boys were skipping rocks.
And the water
was ice cold.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, they were splashing around and throwing in their rocks. Right. And they love to throw rocks. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But then we were leaving. And even as we were leaving, we saw the tour buses start to come in. And then later on during the day when we were driving back, there was even more tour buses. So this is a
heavily... Yeah, there was like 20 people checking out the falls, and the boys would not have been able to chuck rocks and splash around.
Right, it just would have been a different experience for us.
Right.
So
now, they're a little bit further into Crawford Notch. There are some amazing hikes, and I have to thank my boss, my high school principal, who is an experienced White Mountains hiker. Basically, every hike that we recommend, he recommended to us first, and he was actually there the same week we were there, and we did a hike with him. And every day I'd sort of text him and say, what's next? And he'd shoot back with another great hike. And every one we loved. He picked such great family-friendly hikes for us. So we loved the Elephant Head Trail hike, right? That was a lovely, lovely hike and just so perfect for five-year-old boys and a mama with a baby in a backpack, okay? What did you love about the Elephant Head Trail?
It had, again, I can't believe how many hikes in New Hampshire have the fun little rock scrambles.
Right.
The water feature. Like, this had those little boardwalks
that
led over the marshy.
Streams.
It was the marshy areas. And so there was the little boardwalks that went over there, which the boys love.
You feel like you're lost in a secret forest.
They
but meanwhile, you're right
boardwalks.
Off the like, interstate.
Yeah, they're like, you know, balancing on them, whatever.
And we have pictures of that. We'll put all these blog posts up in the show notes with great pictures of all these hikes.
Nice 2 miles, which is always like... Perfect.
And a big payoff at the top with the view.
And then you're up at the top and you can see all of Crawford Notch. Like, it was gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a pretty stunning view in both directions.
Yeah, and then the really fun part was that there was climbing ropes. Like, men
Yeah, we got up there and there was guys doing some rock climbing.
Yeah, so there were ropes that went off the face and down. And the boys are like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah,
you know, and I'm like,
that was cool.
There's people right now, like, rock climbing up this face. And then when we got down to the bottom, I was able to show them. Like, look.
That's right.
There's the people
that.
Climbing.
They thought that was cool.
And they were really
impressed.
And the
top, by the
that.
Way, there's like sort of a big open rocky area, which was perfect for
a
snack or a picnic.
Well, which happened at a lot of our hikes.
That's so true. In New Hampshire,
Bald
there are
Mountain,
so many hikes
bluff.
Where you get up to the top and you have these
flat,
tremendous
right.
views, but also these flat mountaintops, which you feel very safe and secure with the kids
great
up there.
Great for snacking.
Yeah, definitely great for snacking.
Pull out those
now,
Cliff Bars.
The next hike we would recommend is definitely a more challenging family hike. And I would say it's one of the two most challenging family hikes we have ever done.
Yeah.
It was Arethusa Falls. Mm-hmm. It was a hike about 3.5 miles.
Total.
There's different ways you can do this hike, but I think it was about 3.5 miles, 4 miles total. And it goes out to a beautiful waterfall, the highest waterfall, I believe, in the state of New Hampshire, which I think people debate about that.
Let's argue about that.
And again, the waterfall was stunning. The hike was stunning. There was the water feature along the way.
Yeah.
And then we took that little hike.
We took a little
Bemis Brook Trail. Mm-hmm. The Bemis Brook Trail was lovely.
So we start at the bottom. Instead of going right
out to the falls,
we took the Bemis Brook Trail that led...
It loops around and then connects back to the Arethusa Falls Trail.
Via a very intense, steep rock scramble.
I'm actually looking at the picture of that right now on the iPad. And yeah, that was a
That's no joke.
I was gasping for air when we got up to the top of that.
And that was fine. I had the baby on my back. But if the boys had been younger, I don't know if they would have been able to.
They were troopers that day.
They were great. And we've said this a million times. The more challenging a hike at this age,
the better behaved
they
are.
They're great because they're like focusing. They're putting their hands or feet. But I don't know if they had been four.
A year ago, this hike would not have worked for us.
I wouldn't do the Bemis Brook Trail.
So our boys were five. They're really good hikers, but this might really be more for like 8 or 9 year old kids.
Yeah,
not to be bragging on our boys or anything.
No. I just think that they wouldn't have been able to handle it younger. So I don't want anybody to get, to think.
It was a tough hike, and I think we should mention we met a lovely family from Rhode Island along the way with three lovely daughters.
Yes, three girls,
and they were veteran hikers.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, yeah. And they
and
kept
our
us
boys
company.
They were smitten.
They were enthralled. They were showing off a little.
So much so that they had to like basically race to keep up with these girls because they could
Which
not,
was good though because it kept
it
a good pace
good
for
until,
us.
It was good until like somebody like Max like bit the dust because he was like racing.
I remember somebody else bit the
I
dust.
I did. It was the only time because what happened was I was focused on him that one time. He was like racing ahead. I'm like focusing on him. It was the first time I've ever fallen.
And just reminded us that trail safety is important and to make sure you have all your emergency stuff.
I don't even want to go off on that. I feel like we need to talk about that on another episode, though, because it did remind me of that. And that couple was so awesome that way. They were like such
veteran.
Oh, she
was whipping out ice packs.
She had
and
everything. And, but I did have my first spill ever. I've been hiking since the boys were babies.
Yeah, and if the baby wasn't on your back, you wouldn't have had a spill.
A baby on my back for 5 years now.
And Wes was fine.
He was fine. And I caught myself fine. But it did feel like, oh my gosh, I have to pay attention.
It really did remind us, we need to have a little bit more safety equipment with us in terms of,
I think we have to talk about that on another episode.
Let's talk about that in another episode. Now,
it's important.
Our major discovery for Crawford Notch State Park, and really maybe for the whole trip, was the Appalachian Mountain Highland Center. Okay, this is an AMC lodge in the White Mountains. It was stunning.
Can we talk about how we wound up there?
Yes, you should, because it fits into your whole philosophy of travel.
I have a couple of things that I will harp on over and over and over again because I think they're worth it. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I say, you have to learn to be the tourist and talk to locals. Like, don't be embarrassed and try to pretend.
Be the tourist who does talk to locals.
No, that's what I mean.
Tourists don't. We do.
People all try to be like cool when they're traveling, I think. And like, they don't want to like show.
Oh, we like to act stupid and be like, tell us where to go.
What do we do? And that's been something that I feel like we've gotten better at.
Well, and also you kind of ask the right people. You're good at finding,
you know
who to look for.
Like, I know. So we actually stopped at this little
bookstore, gift shop.
It was like a gift shop. And it had like a sign out front. And I can't remember what it said, but we thought, well, let's go in there because there was bathrooms after the Elephant Head Trail.
Right.
We thought, let's go there. Let's use the restroom.
It was right off the interstate.
Mm-hmm. And we were trying to figure out where to eat lunch. And we had kind of, honestly, I'll be honest, we had pulled up like Yelp, and we had been looking around, and we had been looking at like
We found somewhere that was like a good drive away,
whatever,
really.
And we thought, well, maybe we'll drive. So anyway, we go in, we use restrooms, and we actually got the souvenirs for the boys there because they wanted a hat. They wanted a cap. A hiking cap. We had these big, like, wide-brimmed hiking
hats
for them.
They had these cute red AMC hats.
And the boys had decided they wanted caps, right? So we thought, okay, well, they had these nice red AMC caps in there, and they ended up getting their souvenir for the trip there. But as I'm buying the souvenirs, the caps, I said to the lady behind the counter, who was very nice, and she was chatting with me. So I was like, have you ever heard of, and I mentioned whatever place it was that we were looking at.
It was probably 15, 20 minutes
drive.
And
she looked at me, she's like, oh, she goes, I don't know about that place. She goes, but I do know that you need to go right over there to the AMC cafeteria.
Which is like, I mean, you can see it from the road, this AMC lodge, but it's a little bit tucked away.
And it didn't look like a public place.
It looks like a lodge. It doesn't look like a place you're going to pull into and look around.
No, it looks like a place
you're told you to go there for lunch, but what else did she tell you?
This is what she said to me. You know, she said, it's a cafeteria. She says, really good sandwiches, soups. She goes, I eat there every day. She said, but there's a beautiful playground the kids can eat at, and you can have a beer.
Emphasize beautiful, stunning playground. It doesn't even feel right to call it a playground.
No,
it was like,
I kind of looked at it.
I want to call
like,
it something different. I want to call it an outdoor adventure center.
Wow, we'll talk about that more. But I kind of said to her, are we okay? Like, I was like, well, can we go there?
Can you just
there?
Pull in and go there? Like, it's a lodge.
She goes, please. She said, it's open. Just go. It's like a center and you can go. She goes, I go over there every day. I said, okay. So I said, we can just drive over there. And we did. We drove over there. We got out. And this place, I mean, it's, oh gosh.
Paradise?
If I could sit in an Adirondack chair. I've been to a lot of beautiful places. If I could sit in an Adirondack chair anywhere right now, like right at this minute, I think I might choose that view.
Yeah, it was like, awesome. It's a stunning view of Crawford Notch, surrounded by wildflowers around the lodge.
Fields of wildflowers.
And then this, off in the distance, this play area for the kids, which was not like your traditional swings and slides, but like rock climbing, rope bridges.
It was
literally like a training ground for hiking and mountain exploration.
They could move these huge rocks and move them and make
and
different...
we were the only ones there.
So we went in, we went to the cafeteria, just like our cafeteria in
College
Maine.
Of the Atlantic
That's
flashbacks.
Right. It was.
Prices were great.
And you got your tray.
Healthy food,
you
delicious food.
A beautiful sandwich on whole grain bread, homemade soups. It was unbelievable. Yes, a beer.
A selection local, of beers.
Local breweries. It was beautiful. We carried our trays outside.
Outdoor seating area.
To these outdoor seats that looked out. And then the boys all ate and they were like, can we go play? And we were like, of course. They played. There were blocks, these foam.
Oh, the blocks.
Remember the blocks?
I totally forgot about the blocks.
They were dragging out these big foam blocks and making huge sculptures. It was
yeah, this playground was one of the
experience.
Highlights of this trip. It was one of the highlight of any of our RV trips.
Yeah.
And it was free.
Yeah.
And there was a great lunch attached to it.
So here's the thing is we went back.
We rarely, on an RV vacation, we rarely do the same thing twice.
Okay? We're in the business of making recommendations to people. So
and we were writing, doing an article for Jayco about White Mountains.
We
and
love
we wanted to cover
out.
Everything.
We do. We always want to try out a million different things.
The next day, we were back here for lunch in the playground again.
We had gone, the first day we went on the waterfalls, and then we did the Elephant Head hike. Elephant Heads Trail hike. And then we went there, and we were like, this is amazing. The next day, we did that long Arethusa Falls hike.
Right.
After the hike, we both looked at each other
we're
and
like,
we said,
we're hungry.
We got to go back.
We want to relax.
Like, we can't go anywhere else. That's all we wanted to do was go back to this
the
place.
Other thing
and we did.
That we have
Boys
to say,
never wanted to leave.
Is we are never, like, jealous of hotel people or cruise people or lodge people. This was the only time in our RV travel so far where I was like, I want to stay here.
Right.
I want to stay here for a few nights.
They had activities. They have hikes.
Night hikes.
Mm-hmm. They have
educational hikes.
Yeah, like moonlight, whatever. Stargazing. They have all these activities through the day and at night that explore that area.
And I think
area.
You could do those without staying there, if I understand correctly.
And you can be a member of the AMC. And you can.
By the way, we're going to join.
Yeah, of course
we need to already.
We love it so much. We really do. We're a little
And I've been buying their guidebooks.
Of course.
And they hooked us up with some giveaways, a few books.
So, yeah. So, anyway, one of our treasures, like our all-time
travel
treasures.
If you're in the White Mountains, you need to get to Crawford Notch, and you need to get to this AMC Lodge. Have lunch there. Take the kids to this playground. It's lovely. You can spend a whole afternoon there. Mm-hmm. All right, the campground. We stayed at the Twin Mountain KOA, which was quite a bit different than the Lincoln Woodstock KOA. It was a quieter, simpler campground, a more rustic campground, and the whole area around it was very, very quiet.
Yeah, there's no stores. Well,
the grocery store was half an hour away.
At this point, we were very long into our trip. We had been to Cape Cod before. We even went to the White Mountains.
Yeah, we went to 16 days on this trip.
I don't have like supplies anymore from home. We had to do a restock, and we were
It was a half an hour drive to a little rinky-dink grocery store.
Yeah, and it was a rinky-dink.
But at the same time, it was beautiful and quiet up in this part of the White Mountains.
So if you want that more removed, incredibly quiet, rustic experience.
And a bit closer to Mount Washington, I believe,
this
than the Lincoln Woodstock.
This is a great location for you. We stayed at the top of the campground.
Yes. Okay. So we stayed at the top of the campground, and the row of sites at the top of the campground, they were lovely sites. They were back-end sites. They were wooded.
Yes.
They were private. There were large rocks, boulders in between the sites.
Yeah. And we have pictures of all those things.
The moon
things,
was lovely at night. The campfires were awesome at night. There was another great owner here, Tyson. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was a gentleman of the old school. He was a real talker.
Right. He
came around and chatted with everyone at the end of the night.
Checked in. We were having trouble with Wi-Fi, which, I mean, I'll be honest with you. We're out in the middle of nowhere.
Like, we don't expect
cell phone reception, but we just happened to
we need it for what we do.
Right.
But
sometimes,
at the same time, we're not one of those people that like complain about Wi-Fi when you're out in the middle
of nowhere.
Because we
understand. This is just the nature of our
job. But he was working hard to keep
out.
The Wi-Fi going.
He was cute. He would come up and like reset it.
I would go as far as adorable.
Yeah, we liked him.
And he had actually lived in Ocean Grove, where we had lived when we first were married. So this was a really great campground, friendly owner. I would not recommend the pull-through sites down at the bottom because they're a little close to the road.
Yeah.
I would go up to the top because it slopes along, I believe it's called Cherry Mountain. And those sites up at the top were really, really nice.
And this they had some cabins up there too.
It's a great base camp for exploring Crawford Notch. So if you want to do the extended trip, and you want to get into Crawford Notch, this is a great place. And if you're really excited to get to Mount Washington, this is also a good jumping off point for Mount Washington, which is about half an hour away.
Right. And like pared down basics of like the pool, the playground, all very simple. Not like, just a small pool, small playground.
It has the basics.
And our boys are perfectly happy to go play in that pool at
Absolutely.
The end of the day. That's a like they're like, woo, let's go.
Yeah, but this was not like the Lincoln Woods Dock KOA where you could just stay at the campground and be entertained all day
Different
long.
Different experience.
But we enjoyed both. We'd recommend both. And we'll be back in a second to talk about some of the awesome theme parks in the White Mountains.
Big deal in the White Mountains.
It's a big deal, believe it or not. And we loved them. So for this segment, we're talking theme parks. Okay, now the White Mountains is an incredibly unique family vacation destination in New England for the following reason. It has this incredibly amazing combination of rugged outdoorsy hikes and swimming, and then also theme parks, all of these little Disney-esque theme parks. Now, in one of the blog posts we wrote, I called them the Holy Trinity, Clark's Trading Post, Santa's Village, and Storyland. Now, we got to Clark's Trading Post and to Santa's Village and loved them both.
Yeah,
one more than the other, but loved them both.
And if you ask our boys what the most amazing part of their trip was,
Santa's Village.
They'll tell you Santa's Village, and they still talk about it.
If you ask Dad what the most amazing part, Santa's Village was awesome.
We had so much fun
They crank Elvis Presley all day in the summer. They crank Elvis Presley's Christmas music all day long.
But backing up, like, it's very interesting history where these families, you know, came out there. Like, these, like, almost, like, I don't know, like, frontier families.
Yeah, these rugged individuals came out there and opened these theme parks.
It was a tourist destination. And then there were some families that were like, well, we need to sort of make these places that people are going to want to return and come to and to see the sights and the shows. So these very sort of particularly touristy kind of places were built in this area.
And Clark's Trading Post is definitely very much tied into the history of that family.
And so again, there's this tension, right? Where you look at these places and you think, oh, well, this is a
tourist
place.
Trap.
And that was a discussion that we had. And I said to you one night when we were planning what to do the next day, I said, I want to go. That's always something that kind of pulls on me. I'm an interesting mix that way. Like, if there's something
can be good. They can be fun if you do them the right way.
I always feel like they sort of tell you a lot about a place. And if you do it the right way and at the right time, it can, and you get in the right mindset, you have fun as a tourist. And I know that there's tons of quotes out there and views out there on the difference between a tourist and a traveler. But I believe in being that sort of like, hey, entertain me every once in a while.
Well, and also, look, it's a perfect destination for a family like ours because we do compromise with the kids. Mm-hmm. We're going to take you on a 4-mile hike, but then we will take you to Santa's Village.
And I feel like our boys kind of know that. Like, they know the payoff's around the corner, and we're, like, training them.
Well, because training them, brainwashing them, whatever.
And we have fun with it, too. We really do enjoy it. And we did enjoy Clark's Landing.
So let's start with Clark's Trading Post.
For the most part, we enjoyed it.
We did not like the bear show, which it's famous for.
It's famous for a bear show.
And we walked out of that bear show.
Well,
because the blaster boats.
They were fine.
Were so fun.
Right. We're not saying that, like, the bear show was
We got bad seats and out in the heat of the sun.
We are also not big, like, trained animals doing things, people.
Well, and also the kids sitting still for a half hour to 45 minutes.
Like, no.
They want to do blaster boats and they want to do.
We walked away. We did leave.
Yeah.
So we left. We did the blaster boats
multiple times for hours.
We did.
I think we should say what blaster boats are. I mean, I know that might sound obvious. It's like
You blast
water at each other in like a little artificial pond. Bumper boats. And you soak each other.
Water.
And it is like stupid fun.
Yeah. A lot of
stupid fun for the
everyone.
Kids and the
people
adults.
That are 38.
And there's like an observation. There's like there's like an observation deck, and you can squirt people from
the observation deck.
So we did a ton of that, and then Stephanie and I mastered the Segway.
Yeah,
they have segways there for free that you can zoom around on.
That's part of it. I've never been on a Segway before, and I was like, oh, please, segways. And
then, like, we thought it was all being like, corny, like all the segways.
And then you get on the Segway,
and you're like, I want a Segway.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, if the price point was a little lower, I'd be buying one.
And I mean, that's the thing about these sort of like what people call tourist traps is sometimes you just get over your sense of coolness, and you're just like, this is fun.
And therefore, you become cool. Come on, the whole time we were on the Segways, I was thinking about Arrested Development, too.
Oh, totally embarrassing.
Was it Job? And then you did rock climbing.
Yes. Right.
Which
they
was cool.
Rock climbing.
It wasn't that little. It was medium.
No, it was fun.
It was totally fun.
Then there's all these little shows that it's like the Tilty House, and they like tell a whole story about the weird Tilty House people. Or like these like the Slanted House. And I went into the Slanted House with
the
boys.
How did the boys like those? Because I stayed with Wes.
They liked... They're like really into like that like goth sort of like if they get a story that's like weird about a family they get really serious about it and they get like all like really
intense.
Because
they believe it.
They believe it totally.
Oh, we can't forget the Wolfman.
Okay, that's the big thing.
The Wolfman's the big thing. The train ride. Yeah. So you take this train ride.
Bizarre.
Okay, everyone hops aboard the train. It's like the White Mountain Express.
Like, oh, we thought it was just like a normal train ride.
Yeah.
But
you drive kind of out into the woods a little bit.
They start narrating.
They start warning you that the Wolfman's coming and to stay in the train and to stay safe because the Wolfman might get you.
No, but this whole thing is a political, like, New Hampshire story.
Oh, I don't remember that.
No, it is. It's the Wolfman who believes the government's trying to take his land.
Oh.
The whole thing is about the Wolfman.
He's like a Tea Party guy.
Yeah. He's trying to keep. And like, he's like guarding his stuff.
Well, the boys were like scared. Like,
we did not think that we were bringing
One of the two boys who shall remain unnamed, like squatted down on the floor and put his hands over his ears. Because the Wolfman starts yelling and screaming and shooting guns up in the air.
He has a really big beard.
Oh, and he's dirty. The Wolfman is dirty.
He had a tunic on.
Yeah, and he he hops into like his Wolfman mobile, and he races all over the place.
So he comes after
you. And the kids were scared.
They were scared, but then.
But this is the brilliant part.
So the announcer, like, he's like talking over a loudspeaker, and the announcer's like, "All right, we're gonna tell this guy to take a hike." And
scram, you old goat.
He says,
they tell the kids,
him.
Say, scram, you
scram,
old goat.
You old goat.
And he hates that and he'll be scared.
Well, that empowered the boys.
That really empowered the boys.
Once they had that phrase.
That empowered about 50 kids on the train.
They were like, oh, we can yell.
So imagine 50 kids yelling, scram, you old goat.
They were screaming at him and he was all mad and he was yelling back. And then finally he scrammed that old goat. He did scram.
He hopped in his little Wolfman mobile, which was adorable, and he took off. So this was like this incredible, like, fairy tale so psychodrama with the kids. So weird, but so wonderful.
But like at the end, even though I felt really guilty at the beginning because they were scared and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm on this train and I had no idea what we were getting into. And my boys are like crouching on the floor. They're like, oh my gosh, there's this crazy guy.
To sum up Clark's Trading Post. Scram you old goat.
I mean,
segways, rock climbing,
right,
and blaster boats.
Come on, people.
Okay, now let's get to Santa's Village. Because Santa's Village was the bomb.
This is not. So Santa's Village is totally sanitized. Like, that's the funny thing. It's like Clark's train was this, like, wacky.
Sanitized? Oh, Santa's Village was clean.
Right. So
Disney clean. Disney clean.
Right. And, like, music playing.
Elvis.
And, like, totally different experience. Now, we did the whole go in after three and get the pass
for the next
like
day.
For another day.
Stephanie's always working the angles.
So it was good because we went after three and then they
went out to the water slides in the water park.
Yeah. And they rode those water slides over and over and over again. They were awesome water slides.
Totally.
And they were happy as can be. Wes had the whole splashy area. There's like a huge splash park. Big water slides.
Appropriate for little kids. Appropriate for bigger kids.
Our boys were thrilled.
They wanted to go down those slides over and over.
We also brought them to see Santa. It happened to be July. And they were completely unprepared to see Santa.
Right.
And Santa was lovely. And he was like, "What? That's his summer home.
Of course. Right. White Mountains, New Hampshire.
So they were like... He was like, "Well, what do you want for Christmas?" And the boys were looking at us like, "We don't know what we want. Like, we haven't even thought of it." He goes, "Okay, write me a letter." Like, they had a, like, they had a...
Oh, I was so not sold on the whole, like, Christmas and summer thing.
Neither was I.
But I ate it up.
Yeah.
And it was just a great park.
The next time that we went back...
We came back.
They wanted to go on all the rides. And there was good rides.
The rides were really good.
Perfect for them.
It's not stretching it to say this is... like Disney on a smaller scale with
just
Santa Claus.
A little shrunk down. Like, great log flume.
They loved the log flume.
That was really fun. Where they had to, like, laser tag the elves. They loved that.
Really perfect for their age.
It was. And
we had read online
that Storyland has the bigger rides.
Yeah, if your kids are like 10, 11, 12, go to Storyland.
Right. So we had seen that.
And I have to stop you. Now, Clark's Trading Post, that's down near Franconia Notch, closer to the Lincoln Woodstock KOA.
Yeah.
Santa's Village is north, and that is closer to Twin Mountain than the Twin Mountain KOA. But Santa's Village gets our highest recommendation.
It was awesome.
And the price was really,
really
reasonable.
And the boys still talk about it. End of story.
They want to go back.
Right.
I want to go back.
Of course.
We'll be back in a minute to talk about two amazing drives in the White Mountains of New Hampshire. If you've been listening to our podcast, you know that we love our national parks and we love our national forests. And we are so thankful that we spent a day driving on the Kankamangus Highway, a.k.a. the Kank, through one of our great national forests. And it was stunningly beautiful. And I can't believe that we almost just didn't do it. We really weren't that into it. And then on a rainy day, we threw the boys in the car, they fell asleep, and we drove the whole length of the Kank, and it was stunning.
Yeah, well, for all of our bravado about traveling, we have a baby who's not great in the car. So we
long scenic car rides don't always work for us.
Right, not with him. The boys are much better, but he is still a little difficult. So it was definitely not at the top of our list. But the stars aligned, and it was a rainy day after we had done a hike.
Rainy day, but a day where you could still kind of get outside.
We did a hike,
put on
and
the
then it started to rain a little harder, but it was also about nap time, and we thought, well,
let's drive the Kank.
Let's do our best and drive the Kank. And it, the entrance is right down.
It's down. It's near, right near Lincoln or Woodstock. No, Lincoln.
Lincoln.
It's close to the Lincoln Woodstock Highway.
Yeah. So
and
the entrance.
It goes all the way. It goes all the way east to Conway.
Right. So we were staying down there, and we got on the highway, and we were so glad we did. Beautiful hours drive. Now, which isn't that long.
But it was the magical forest feel. Like, you feel like you're in another world.
You were. You were totally removed from the outside
world. Thick pine forests.
Now, again, this is the thing about New Hampshire. Lots of different points of access. The easy pull-off scenery, right? Just those little pull-offs
you don't have to hike out a mile to see rushing rivers
you
and
could
streams.
Pull off and be like, oh, wow,
walk
look
over
at the
a little
view.
Bridge and be at
End
a beautiful pond.
Then you could also, at a couple places, park.
There's some famous hikes.
And do a little walk. And just experience, like, a little bit off the beaten trail. And then there's, like, the third level where there were areas that you could actually do. And there's a great maps of this. Like, 5-6 mile day hikes.
Out to a pond or a swimming hole or a waterfall.
Campground.
Right,
out there.
For lots of campgrounds for dry camping
so
in the
you
national
could
forest.
Do a day hike out, and you could stay overnight, and then come back the next day. And there's, I think like 3 or 4 of those set up.
Yeah, maybe even 5. So if you're into tent camping, this is an amazing
backpacking
location
in general. Like, so we love that. We love the fact that it was accessible for us with our 3 young kids, but that we could also imagine it being even more adventurous and wild in the future.
It sounds corny to say, but in the White Mountains, like, adventure is around every corner. Like, you can literally just pull over into a parking lot, walk 100 yards, and you're like, you feel like you're out in the middle of nowhere, even though you're actually really close to these interstates that cut through the notches.
It's wild. You're
beauty. Like, you know.
I said when we were there, I felt like it was the Rocky Mountains of the East. Like, I was like, oh, because I've been out west quite a bit.
Yeah.
I mean,
this is,
you know,
as close as you're going to get in New England.
I was like, yeah, I've been all over New England. I had never
you
been
feel
to
like
the White
you're
Mountains
in the West.
Before.
That's a good way to put
and
it.
And I was like, this is like our version of a lot of stuff that I saw in the West. Like, it's that wild feel.
Yeah,
that
like where Vermont
feel.
And Maine feel so quintessentially New England to me. This
rolling
did feel like
more
something from,
it was
from the West.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other big drive was the Mount Washington Auto Road,
which of course is famous.
Oh,
everybody goes to the top of Mount Washington, and I thought, la 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 la, we need to drive up to Mount Washington. Now, obviously, we weren't going to hike it. Please, this is like one of those hikes you don't do with
no,
kids.
No, you don't do with little
okay,
kids.
With little kids. Now, eventually, would I like to hike to the top of Mount
Washington? I hope we do.
Sure,
but
and
not
especially
with 5-year-olds.
After seeing it, now I'm like, oh, I really want to do that. Now
it's awe-inspiring.
Yeah, it is. And but that was like not even on the table. So I was like, oh, we'll do the drive. I've seen the bumper stickers all over the place.
I wanted a bumper sticker.
Whatever. We got them. Now, I've seen those bumper stickers. I imagined a bunch of cars driving up a silly mountain road up to the top.
It wasn't like that at all.
Oh my gosh!
White knuckle driving.
This road is no joke.
It's no joke at all. I will be honest. I'm a grown man. I will say I was definitely scared at points.
This was shockingly scary.
And they say
there's
room for 2 cars the entire length
of
the road.
There were many times when cars were waiting.
I'm not buying it.
Well, whatever. We were not expecting. This was adventure. I thought, oh, we have 3 young kids. We're just going to have to do this silly little drive up.
It was intense up and it was intense down.
It was intense and the views were spectacular.
And of course, I'm driving, so I wasn't enjoying
them. I enjoyed the views.
As much. I mean, I enjoyed it up top.
I had to talk you through it.
We had what's considered to be beautiful Mount Washington weather. It was about 55 degrees with 30-mile-per-hour winds. Now, our camping buddies, Joe and Ashley, went up to the top 3 or 4 days before. I think it was 27 degrees with 90-mile-per-hour winds. The road was closed to passengers, and you had to take a tour bus up. So this was July.
Yeah.
And it was 27 degrees, 90-mile-per-hour winds up there.
We got up there. We had a good time watching the hikers come up. That
As the driver, this is what I have to say. When you drive to the top of Mount Washington, like when you get to the top, you feel cool. You feel accomplished. You feel like you've just done something like kind of amazing.
Yeah, it's like,
right?
Wow, I can't believe it.
Like, I'm
yeah.
feeling like a stud, you know? Like, my Chevy Silverado and I, we made it up here. And then you see the hikers start coming up, and you just feel like a lame-o for driving.
Yeah.
That's the Mount Washington. And then, see, you look
I
at them.
To. I never would have said to you before, I want to hike Mount Washington.
Oh,
and
you said bucket list.
Oh, I did. I was like, oh, I'm doing that.
But let
I'm
me just say
doing
this.
That. Boys are a little older, I'm doing
everyone's
that.
Everyone's jealous, right? Like, the driver is jealous of the hiker for that rugged hike. And then the hikers are looking at the drivers like, oh, you cheated, you know? Or like, I want to hop in your car and go back down because
like, you're sitting
so
here
hard.
Mucking up my view. I worked for this and now you're all up here walking
so it
around.
It's amazing up there. It is awe-inspiring up
Do
there.
Do not eat up there.
No, don't eat up there.
that cafeteria.
They
no
sold
good.
Honest tea, but beyond that, yeah, the food was pretty rough.
They were
there.
Like the spinning pizzas and the Bring a picnic lunch to Mount Washington.
And if you are going to hike it, be really careful and cautious with weather and do a lot of research. Make sure you're in tip-top shape.
Yeah.
The drive is also awesome. So no trip to the White Mountains of New Hampshire is complete without either driving to the top or hiking to the top. You've got to make Mount Washington.
Fun. Way more fun
part
than
of the
I
journey.
Ever would have imagined.
And on the way down is so white-knuckle, too. And there's signs every 5 minutes saying, pull over and cool your brakes. So we had to stop every 5 minutes or so on these pullover. What do you
Love
call those
it.
Things? Not pullovers.
I don't know.
But you have to pull over. I don't know if that made it better or worse
I was getting these
little breaks, but that allowed me to enjoy views of the presidential range.
Mm-hmm.
So we loved White Mountains, New Hampshire. It is highly recommended for a family RV vacation. We hope you get there.
We'll be back.
This is our third adventure guide. We did an adventure guide to Cape Cod. We did one to Acadia National Park and now the White Mountains of New Hampshire. And we've been very excited. We've been getting some Facebook notes and some emails from people who are going to Acadia and following our recommendations.
Yeah.
And that's really exciting to us to know that you guys are out there listening and you're, you know, trying some of these great campgrounds and you're going to do some of the hikes.
And keep letting us know that.
Yeah, let us know because it makes us...
If you go to any of the places, let us know.
Well, let's be honest.
At
a certain point, we were thinking maybe not doing these full-length episodes on one destination, but then we started to get feedback from people saying, hey, we're going to Acadia and we are following your itinerary for our trip. So that's exciting to us. We would love to hear from you if you're going to head to New Hampshire. And we'll be back in a second to wrap up the show. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. Keep those emails coming and the Facebook notes. We'd love to hear from our listeners during the week. We're not just saying that. We really do. It makes our week. And please, if you've been enjoying the podcast, consider writing us a review on iTunes. It means the world to us, and we really appreciate it. So join us next week. What do you have?
Oh, I've got an interview with Santa.
You're going to interview Santa?
Absolutely. We are comparing and contrasting his summer home at Santa's Village with his winter
abode. He's got swanky digs.
Up at the North Pole.
The White Mountains.
What are you doing?
Also, join us next week as we sell the RV and sell all our possessions. And we moved to the AMC Lodge in Crawford Notch, New Hampshire, because it was paradise.
It was. Yeah.
Anything else for next week's show?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to wax philosophical on the differences between a bounce pad and a bounce pillow.
Well, you gotta get the names right.
Jump pad.
So I think it's a jumping pillow, jump pad, bounce pillow.
Bounce pillow.
The differences are profound.
And we are going to dive deeper into that.
We should. Also, I will be starting a self-help group for campground owners who can't take any more complaints about Wi-Fi. I know you're out there. You're sick of it. You're hurting campground owners. You try so hard. We see you running around with your repeaters and your signals and your this and your that, and we know what you're thinking. Like, why on earth do people go camping to use the internet?
Yeah, don't come camp here and ask me for Wi-Fi.
We want to help you, campground owners. We know you're struggling with this issue.
Support group.
Internet and the great outdoors. I mean, we want it too, but we understand.
Yeah.
We love you, campground owners.
Night, night.
See you next week.